many years ago, probably in about somewhere between the first and second year of my ordination, I decided to give a homily about joy. Well, a few days later at a staff meeting, Sister Rita, who's from the Precious Blood Sisters in Wichita, was on our staff. She said to me, she said, "You know, I've never seen anyone preach on joy and look so sad." I haven't had the courage to do it since. But I'm going to try this morning, okay? You know, when you think about it, many of the saints were people of great joy. You know, probably the most noted one is Francis of Assisi. You know, from what we hear about him, we read about him, joy just seemed to fill his life. And yet, if you look at his life, there was a lot of hardship in it. There was suffering, there was self-denial. There was all of those things that we don't associate with joy. And yet, in the midst of all that, he was a person of great joy. And that's true of many of our saints. They had a great interior joy, yet in the midst of things that we would call extremely difficult, sometimes very painful, both physically and emotionally. We look at our readings today. They are readings that speak to us of triumph. Just look at this reading from the second reading from the book of Revelation. Right at the beginning, John is speaking about this vision. He said he had a vision of a great multitude, which no one could even count. He said they came from every nation, race, people, and tongue. And they stood before the throne and the Lamb, wearing bright white robes, holding palm branches in their hands. And then right at the end, it talks about how the Lamb would shepherd them, lead them to springs of life-giving water, and wipe every tear from their eyes. What joy! The joy of being eternally in the kingdom of our God, eternally in a place, I guess that's the word I want to use, in a state of being, maybe is better, of no sorrow, no pain, perfect happiness. What joy that is. We see joy also in the first reading. Right at the end, it says the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. And it even kind of hints at it in the gospel reading. You know, right at the end, it says, no one can take them out of the Father's hand. You know, if we are possessed by God, nobody can snatch us from Him. Now, in the midst of all that in those readings today, there's the other side of it, and that is struggle. You know, that first reading talks about how those early disciples began to suffer persecution. And we know that soon there was martyrdom as the Jewish powers, the Roman government, began to oppress this new faith. And yet, in the midst of that, they find joy. We see it also in the second reading. It talks about the people who have passed through a time of great distress, and then they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And even also in the gospel reading, that part about no one snatching them from the Father's hands, you almost get the sense, too, that there's somebody going to try. The evil one will be there, trying to not snatch us in the sense that he can take us away, but he can tempt us to lead us away. So that those two realities, joy and struggle, joy and suffering, seem to be so integral to Christian life. Where does the joy come from? Well, it's not just a joy that is about some distant future. It's also a joy about right now. You know, there is joy when I know the meaning and the purpose of my life. Think about what it would be like to lead a life where the only purpose and meaning would be, I'm born and I'm going to die. It's over with. That would be a very difficult way to live. But to know that our lives have meaning and purpose and value that will go on forever, that can be the source of great joy. And then, to know that we are loved. You know, that's at the very core of our faith. That ours is a God who is Father to us. A God who loves us beyond our imagination. A God who loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for us. So that He could touch us with His mercy. And once we know that, that has the power to bring great joy into our lives. And even the sufferings that go on can't take that joy away from us. Because we know we are loved. And you and I know that that's the one thing we all want in life. We want to be loved. We want someone who values us, who cares for us. But we also want somebody who is merciful to us. Because we all make our share of mistakes. We all commit our share of sins. And we need to know that this God who loves us has a mercy beyond belief. Knowing that can bring great joy. There was one other point I wanted to make. Again, it's just that joy of heaven, that joy of knowing there is a life to come. But this joy, just as it did in the early church, it does in our time too, perhaps in different ways. It knows struggle. The greatest struggle is to die to myself. To have to learn to say no to me so that I can say yes to someone else. So that I can give of myself in service to someone else. That's the hardest struggle for us, I believe. And yet, it's the most essential struggle. Because I only find fulfillment in my life to the extent that I give. That I give myself in service. If you want to find a miserable life, find someone who has never learned to give to anyone. Their lives are miserable. If you want to find a joyful person, find someone who has poured themselves out in service to others out of deep, genuine love. That's again why those great saints to be so joyful. They weren't thinking of themselves. They were thinking of how they could give to those around them. But that service costs us. At times it's painful. At times it involves rejection, criticism. And think of the struggle that goes on right now in our country as our country and our culture is more and more embracing values that we as Catholic Christians cannot embrace. And how we are being marginalized very often because of what we believe, because of the values we hold. And yet, that is part of the suffering of being a Christian. It is to hang on to those values, even though the world around us thinks we're absolutely crazy. That's the challenge we have before us. To embrace suffering that comes from holding on to the faith that is ours. If you read the Gospels, one of the things you will notice so often is Jesus talks about if we are to be His disciples, we must take up our cross and follow Him. talks about we must be that grain of wheat that falls to the earth and dies if we are to bear an abundant harvest. He says the one who saves his life will lose it. One who loses his life for his sake will gain it. You know, we don't become Christians because of the suffering. That's not what motivates us. We become Christians because of the joy. That if we can come to know Christ Jesus, if we can give our lives to Him, there will be a joy that nothing can take from us. That's what brings us into the faith of Christ Jesus. But then we know that to experience that joy, we must embrace the hardships. Let me use another example. As most of you know, I'm not a sports person, but I know a little bit about sports. Think about an Olympic figure skater. Think of the joy of winning the gold medal and all the work that it took to get there, all the sacrifice. Think about a football team that wins the Super Bowl. Think about the work it took for those team members to be ready to play that game. Think about any sport. Anyone who's going to be successful has to have a great amount of discipline, has to be willing to spend long hours in practice. They have to control their diet so that they can be at the top of their game. It's all that hardship, all that discipline, all that suffering at times that allows them to know the joy of victory. It's the same with us. It is the self-discipline. It is the embracing of what is hard for the sake of the faith that allows us to know the joy of the risen Christ. And that is our great hope, that each of us will know the joy of Christ in our lives, and that we will let no obstacles, no hardships stand in the way of that joy. That we will give ourselves to Christ Jesus so that we can know the joy of His risen life.